pretty little world that teaches every little boy and girl to earn as much as they can possibly, then turn around and spend it foolishly. We created us a credit card mess. We spend the money that we don't possess. Our religion is to grow and blow it all. So it's shopping every Sunday at the mall. All we ever want is more.
Good afternoon, America, and welcome to the Tuesday, July the 22nd, 2008 broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're on the web at republicbroadcasting.org, and be sure to visit our new little baby website, vocallocal.org. My name is William Roberts, and today is going to be an open lines broadcast. We've placed a lot of new information on the table for your consideration in these first few days, and so what I'd like to do is hear from you, our listeners, and any topic today is fair game. So I do welcome your calls, your comments, and your questions as they may relate to any of the topics we've talked about in the past at 1-800-313-9443 or any other ideas that you'd like to share with the audience and me. So again, the RBN listener call-in line is 1-800-313-9443. Your calls are welcome. Now, while we're waiting for your calls, I'm going to go to a book that I would like to share with you some excerpts from and some other material. We'll start in a little bit today talking about a variety of topics. But one of them that I want to cover is the judicial branch of our government, because so much of the topics that we've talked about in the past and looking at the corrupt two-party political system, so much of what we've discussed in the past has to do with the Congress that we sometimes overlook the judicial branch. But when we interviewed Jim Palmisano and he introduced the concept of the Copper Card program, we must understand that there are three branches to our government. And so any act that seeks to restore our constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government must address all three branches. This is a book that I got at a flea market. I get a lot of my books at flea markets. I crawl around on floors and bookstores and on my hands and knees down there looking for the 10-cent jobbies, the real old guys that they use to stack up and make a bookshelf for other books. And they hate it when I come in because I want to take apart their whole shelving system just to get at these little books. But this is a book that's titled Fundamentals of Citizenship, Our Developing Civilization by Blau and McClure, published by the Laidlaw Brothers, originally copyrighted in 1939. It was reprinted in 40, 44, 46, and 48, and this is a 1948 edition that I have. And so we're going to turn into this. Now, this is a textbook, as the title says. It's the Fundamentals of Citizenship, and by the drawings and the photographs inside, it was intended for younger students, probably in the secondary education system, what we would consider today either junior high and high school or thereabouts, an equivalent. But one thing that you definitely would see in this book, just going into it, is that the children weren't going to school dressed like field hands, wearing promotional T-shirts and baggy shorts. The young men and women are all dressed nicely with suits and ties and shirts and slacks and dresses that come down below the knee. So there's a change. There's been a time changes all things, and certainly in our country there's no different. Now this I'm going to start from way back about page 358. Our National Judicial Department. I'll just read the opening paragraph, and then I'm going to go to the one section that really interested me. And again, today is an open lines broadcast. Your calls are welcome at 1-800-313-9443. I'll start off here. It says, our National Judicial Department. The Judicial Department is provided for in Article 3 of the Constitution. So right off the bat, they're directing the children's attention to the Constitution. Its jurisdiction is defined, the system of courts is referred to, and the judges are made appointive for life. Congress was charged with the duty of organizing the Judicial Department as outlined in the Constitution. And so we can see right off the bat that in the first opening topic here, we've mentioned the Constitution several times and referred to specific sections. Now when we come back from this break, we'll continue our analysis of this old book on citizenship, your calls, and much more. Stay with us.
Life Change Tea is restoring America's health. Want to lose weight? Want to lower blood sugar levels? Want to have more energy? Do you not believe what I'm saying? Then read the testimonies. Go to the website GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us and get started today. The phone number is 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Operators are standing by. For about a dollar a day, you can change your health, change your weight, and change your life. Again, online orders, GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or order by phone, 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Life Change Tea is formulated by Dr. William W. Miller, Ph.D. Life Change Tea, changing America's health, one tea bag at a time.
Hi, I'm Ayala Jags. I'm in business just like you. I spend a lot of time on my cell phone, and I'm very concerned about the potential dangers of cell phone radiation, and you should be too. I found dozens of studies from around the world linking cell phone use to everything from skin conditions to brain tumors. It's shocking, it's scary. Numerous products claim to block cell phone radiation, but do they really? Then I found the Wave Shield. It's the only shielding device that has survived rigorous testing in an FTC-listed lab and is proven to block up to 97% of cell phone radiation from entering your sensitive inner ear. The Wave Shield is easy to apply, it fits almost every phone, and it really, really works. Don't take chances. Protect yourself, protect your family. The Wave Shield is only $19.95. Take just a moment. Call and order your Wave Shield right now. The evidence is growing. Why take a chance? Protect everyone you love. Call now.
866-989-9147.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cartivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cartivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. Okay, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
We're back right here on Become Vocal Local, and you probably have noticed there's been a little change in the system. I'm now broadcasting across a Skype, which is a software technology that I never knew of before, but now I'm working with. And I've also got a new studio set up here in my house to make these broadcasts, and I can tell you what, this whole system is so sensitive, I can almost hear my toenails growing, so bear with me as we go through this. I'll try not to bump things around a little anywhere and make noises that I shouldn't. But in the meantime, hopefully the clarity will be good for you, and I'm very thankful that RBN has this technology available, because the other system was almost unbearable to me, and probably for you. Detracts from the quality of the broadcast when you have to struggle to hear me speaking into my tin can pulling the string so hard. Anyway, now let's go into this a little bit more. We're looking again at this civics book that was published originally in 1938. And I'll just continue right about where we left off. A system of courts was necessary under the Constitution. Congress was empowered to create a body of federal laws dealing with a great many important problems. If these laws were to function, it was absolutely necessary to have courts to interpret them and to make decisions in all disputes and controversies that might arise in the execution of federal law. Now I'm going to go back into that text, and you know I do this all the time. I read something, then I stop and go back inside it. So it was absolutely necessary, the author writes, to have courts to interpret the laws and to make decisions in all disputes and controversies that might arise in the execution of federal law. And so here what we're looking at then is a system of interpretation of the laws. Now, a lot of times you've heard on various broadcasts that, you know, it really it doesn't require a lot of interpretation. When we look at the amendments, the Congress shall make no law establishing blah, 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 or whichever one you want, you know. That doesn't require a lot of interpretation. However, Whenever we start to go into this area where we begin to talk about interpreting law, we're basically invoking jurisprudence as opposed to procedure. Procedure and jurisprudence are two different things. In the study of law, jurisprudence is the history of law. And so we look into the history of the development of law, and we find that early on it was considered proper for the antisocial, or to use his terms, absolutely necessary, to have the courts interpret the laws and to make decisions in all disputes and controversies, largely because the laws cannot fit all, they're not the be-all, do-all laws. Laws are written in a certain way, statutes are passed in a certain way, and it takes a certain amount of interpretation to find out whether or not this particular statute applies or whether it doesn't. And certainly when the statutes come, finally make their way into court, then it takes a certain amount of the analysis and study and comparison to find out whether this statute applies in the case or not. And so then we go back and we look at the findings of the Supreme Court and the other courts and look at that for our comparison. However, let's go in. This is the part I really wanted to get to. Just to give you an idea of the decay in education today. I'm starting in another couple of pages in. It says, laws may, actually I should let you know that this is a section known as judicial review. Laws may be declared unconstitutional by the federal courts. This power of the courts to declare laws that are in conflict with some provision of the written constitution, null and void, is the result of the historic development of the American colonies. This right and duty of courts to declare laws unconstitutional is called judicial review. Judicial review rests upon a few principles that were generally accepted when the Constitution was written. Probably, most of them are accepted at the present time. First, there was a certain natural rights that cannot be transferred. Second, these rights are placed in written constitutions by the people who are sovereign. Third, the written constitution is the fundamental law of the land. Fourth, ordinary law passed by legislators, usually called statutory or legislative law, is inferior to the constitutional law. Fifth, it is the business and duty of courts to interpret and apply all law which may apply to a case under consideration. Sixth, if statutory law is in conflict with the constitutional law bearing on the same case, the statutory law is null and void. That is, it is not law at all because it is in conflict with the fundamental law. Judicial review is never exercised by a court until a case is brought before it. The practice of the courts in judicial review has been much criticized. However, it is difficult to see how a written constitution can remain a fundamental law of the land without some such action of the courts. Now remember, this was written originally in 1938, and then it was republished, originally copyrighted in 1939, recopyrighted in 40, 44, 46, and 48. Today, if any congressman presently serving, or any senator, U.S. senator presently serving, would, and perhaps ought, uphold any of these principles, we would not be in the mess that we're in today. The young people, in the night as late as the 40s, had this information before them as they walked through life. Today, we've thrown all of this in the garbage can. And it's a shame, and it's really something that we have to focus on. When we look at this corrupted, two-party, established political party system and how far down the road it has gone into this collectivist mindset, it is just, if I could say anything, it is so much a time for a restoration, a removal. I like to consider it Operation Clean Sweep. The two parties are so much antithetical to the form of government in the United States of America. They not only have not, I would like to say that they have outlived their usefulness, but I would question the utility at any point of two parties. It goes back to the wigs and the toys, which we've spoken of in the past. But anyway, well, let's go back in again and look at this again. It says, first, there are certain natural rights that cannot be transferred. And we know that to be the laws of nature and nature's God. Certain unalienable rights, right out of the Declaration of Independence. So the authors here have, instead of just quoting the Declaration, they've restated it, but they've certainly pointed directly back to it. These are certain natural rights. You might say natural law. Natural rights is just gentium. Natural law is just not their all. There is a difference. Nevertheless, there are these certain natural rights that cannot be transferred. Transferring is alienation. Alienated. Second, these rights are placed in written constitutions. The difference between the way that the English parliamentary system functions and the way our system works is that in the United States of America and in all the several states, we have written constitutions. They do not. Third, the written constitution is the fundamental law of the land. It's the ultimate book. It's like John Stadtmuller often says, this is the rule book. And what's wrong with it? Hold it up. Use it. That's why we wrote it. That's why we keep it. That's why we still have it. Fifth, it is the business and the duty of the courts to interpret and apply all law which may apply to a case under constitutional law, which may apply to a case under consideration. And sixth, if the statutory law is in conflict with the constitutional law bearing on the case, the statutory law is null and void. If you would consider the Patriot Act, if you would consider the establishment of the creation of the Department of Homeland Security, if you would look at the FISA Act recently passed, we have to understand that our system is broken, it needs to be repaired, and a great portion of it needs to be completely thrown out. And that is important. Now, I'm going to go to a different book. This is high school. Now let's go back to a book that was written far earlier than that, but it has come through many revisions. This is a book called, it's called Salmond on Jurisprudence. It's S-A-L-M-O-N-D. This I have, the copy I have is the 12th edition. And it's published in 1966. But this goes back to the original edition, which was copyrighted in 1902 by Sir John Salmond. And so when we look at Salmond on Jurisprudence, which is a course book in many of the better universities for lawyers, jurisprudes, attorneys, members of the bar, when you go back and look at this book, what we're going to get here is a double load of British law, which so much of what we have here in the United States has been modeled after. And in this particular 12th edition, you'll see a lot of references also to what's happening not just in England, but also here in the United States and in places in Europe. But let's go into chapter 2. It's called The Administration of Justice. The necessity of the administration of justice. And we must understand that the law merchants, well, let me put it in a different way, because that can be confusing. I call these people, all people, niche builders. All of the professions are niche builders. We carve out a niche in life, whether that be making tin whistles, ship anchors, or law. We carve out a niche in life, and then we wall ourselves in with specialized knowledge. This is also understood as the division of labor. And then with our specialized knowledge, we separate ourselves from the rest of the people. And then when the people want any of our skills or our crafts or our mysteries, they come and they ask and they pay for it. And that's the way it works. It's worked that way for a long time. It doesn't mean that that's the way it always has to work. But the niche builders definitely would include the legal professions. Here it is, the necessity of the administration of justice. Here's a quote. This is how the chapter begins. Quote, a herd of wolves, close quote, it has been said, quote, is, I'll start that over again when we come back from this break. We're going to find out about this herd of wolves, the wolves and the sheep. Here we go. Anyway, we'll be back in a moment.
Thank you. heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Do you want to know right now how you can drive around using water as fuel and laugh at rising gas costs? Then keep listening for a very special offer. GasFreedom.info has all the information you need to learn about a simple technology you can have right now. GasFreedom is a do-it-yourself, affordable, practical, free energy device. It uses a little electricity from your car's battery to separate water into a gas called HHO. HHO, also called Brown's gas, burns beautifully and provides tons of energy, while the end product is just water. Visit GasFreedom.info now to learn more. In just 10 minutes, you will discover exactly how this is possible.
This is the secret the oil and auto industry doesn't want you to know.
Go to gasfreedom.info to learn how very easy it is to extract energy from water to run your car. Go to gasfreedom.info for this special offer. Turn any car into a hybrid for $300. Use the passcode RBN and receive $49 off. That's gasfreedom.info or call 239-628-3708. That's 239-628-3708. 239-628-3708.
And we're back right here on Become Vocal Local. And I, one of the things I'm going to have to add into the little studio here is a clock that sits in front of me. I looked on the internet and saw John Stapmiller's studio there, and I kind of modeled the setup of my placement of the items around me, much the same way as he has in that photograph there. But I can't see the computer screen unless I look over to my left shoulder, so I generally don't do that. I'll get the habits down. Anyway, we'll play those breaks a little better in the future. Now, going back, we started this quote. This, again, is out of Salmond on Jurisprudence, Chapter 2. Quote, a herd of wolves, close quote, it has been said, quote, is quieter and more at one than so many men, unless they all have one reason in them or have one power over them, close quote. Unfortunately, they have not one reason in them, each being moved by his own interests and passions. Therefore, the other alternative is the sole resource. Man is by nature a fighting animal, and force is the ultima ratio, not of kings alone, but of all mankind. Without a, quote, common power to keep them all in awe, close quote, it is impossible for men to cohere in any but the most primitive forms of society. Without it, civilization is unattainable. Injustice is unchecked and triumphant, and the life of man, as the author of Leviathan tells us, quote, solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short, close quote. And of course, that's Thomas Hobbes. However orderly a society may be, and to whatever extent men may appear to obey the law of reason rather than that of force, the element of force is nonetheless present and operative. It has become partly or wholly latent, but it still exists. A society in which the power of the state is never called into actual exercise marks not the disappearance of governmental control, but the final triumph and supremacy of it. A very quiet people, a very strong government, I added. It has been suggested that force, as an instrument for the coercion of mankind, is merely a temporary and provisional incident in the development of a perfect civilization. That's the old perfectibility of man philosophy. To a large extent already, in all orderly societies, this element in the administration of justice has become merely latent. It is now, for the most part, sufficient for the state to declare the rights and duties of its subjects without going beyond a declaration to enforcement. Now, let me go back and stop right there for a moment and give you the full quote out of Hobbes' Leviathan, chapter 13, and this is what Thomas Hobbes had to say. Hereby, it is manifest that during the time men live without a common power to keep them all in awe, they are in that condition which is called war, and such a war as is of every man against every man. Whatsoever, therefore, is consequent to a time of war, where every man is enemy to every man, the same is consequent to that time wherein men live without other security than what their own strength and their own invention shall furnish them with all. In such conditions there is no place for industry, no arts, no letters, no society, and, which is worst of all, continual fear and danger of violent death, and the life of man solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. Sir Thomas Hobbes, certainly an authoritarian, had a totalitarian view of things. If you haven't read his book, Leviathan, it's a worthy read. I recommend it to anyone. Continuing now from John Salmon's Jurisprudence. A striking illustration of this is the increasing popularity of the action for a declaration which seeks no relief other than a declaration of the law or of the rights of the parties. It is questionable, however, whether such an action could serve any purpose outside the framework of a legal system which was itself capable of effective enforcement. The constraint of public opinion is not only a valuable support to such enforcement, indeed, it is indispensable, for a system of law based entirely on coercion, without any degree of popular acceptance, would be too insecure to provide stability and permanence. But public opinion alone is no substitute for legal sanctions. A system of law based wholly on public opinion contains within itself the elements of weakness that would be speedily fatal to efficiency. The influence of public censure is least felt by those who need it most. Now, I won't read from it today, but on previous broadcasts here and elsewhere, I've talked a little bit about Dicey's book, another one of these British jurisprudes, his book on public opinion and cross-currents of public opinion as they shape law. And the idea there is between public opinion and cross-currents of public opinion applies to the topics that we've been talking about. Public opinion being shaped today by the change agents, if you will, is driving us or pushing us or forcing us into this concept of global sustainable development. A cross-current of public opinion is that which I am advancing. And so when we come back from this break, we'll go into the steeper. It is an open lines day, so please do feel free to call in at 1-800-313-9434.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Let me tell you why I take Beta Prostate. As a man, I know my chances of having an enlarged prostate is pretty good. As a matter of fact, by the age of 40, our prostate can swell to the size of an apricot. And by age 60, our prostate can enlarge to the size of a lemon. Now, your prostate is right next to your bladder, so this is the main reason why men are up all night going to the bathroom. A good night's sleep is important for every man and their wives, since every time you wake up, she wakes up. So what do? You see your doctor for checkups, eat a healthy diet, and take what I take. It's called Beta Prostate, and it's a natural supplement that helps maintain prostate health. Over 2 million bottles of Beta Prostate have been sold. Why? Because it works. Try it free today by calling 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. Don't put this call off until tomorrow. Try it free today. Dial 1-800-362-5848.
Last month, Ready Reserve Foods stated that by fall, food would be in short supply and the government would be forced to impose controls on food and food distribution because of civil unrest and panic. Well, the floods in the heartland of America have all but assured this will happen. It is estimated that 5 million acres of farmland will not be producing over 700 million bushels of corn alone. If you have ever thought about storing food, now is the time to do so. Call Ready Reserve Foods at 1-800-453-2202 for a free catalog. Larry Matlack, president of the American Agriculture Movement, stated on June 6th that the USDA has only enough wheat stored to make one half of a loaf of bread for every American. Visit us on the web at ReadyReserveFoods.com. 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202. Act now.
How many of you have started your day, gone to work, and felt tired and weighed down? Or you go out at night to dinner and you're uncomfortable because you're bloated and gassy? Well, the reason for this is that you might not be going to the bathroom enough. Huh, I know people that go to the bathroom once every 4 days and they think that it's normal. But the worst scenario is when you look down at your belt line, you see your belly sticking out, but you know it's not fat. It's all that food you ate from days before. Well, from Nutritional Leaders New Vitality comes a great product called Colon and Body Cleanse. I take New Vitality's Colon and Body Cleanse because this product is like giving your body a shower on the inside. It cleans your digestive system by sweeping out your 25 feet of intestinal tract with natural herbs. I feel alive and lighter because I don't have anything weighing me down anymore. To try the Colon and Body Cleanse, call 1-800-362-5848. The first 100 callers will get a free gift. Don't wait. Call now. 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
And we're back right here on Become Vocal Local. Now we're going to take a little segue. Still waiting for your calls. If you would like to chat with me, it would be more than welcome today. We'll go into the wonderful book that was written by Rose Martin. It's called The Fabian Freeway, The High Road to Socialism in the USA. This is from Chapter 11. The professor goes to Washington. And, of course, they're talking in this particular section about Woodrow Wilson, but we won't go into his activities too much here. And we'll just reintroduce Sidney and Beatrice Webb. If you don't know who Sidney and Beatrice Webb are, they are customarily given the title of the founders of British Fabian Socialism, of which Tony Blair was a leader as well. But this was back in the early 1900s. Here we go, beginning in this Professor Goes to Washington, Chapter 11. Sidney Webb induced the Royal Commission of London University to declare economics a science. And, once declared so by that august body, it was assumed to be so. So if you want to know when economics, and all of economists got their official titles, especially in England, it was on the prompting of Sidney Webb, the founder of British Fabian Socialism, and it occurred on February the 20th of 1900. Beatrice Webb confided in her diary, "This divorce of economics from metaphysics and shoddy history is a great gain." Now, both Sidney and his wife, Beatrice, it's hard to say who was the leader and who was the accomplice, if you will. Both of these women, or both the husband and the wife, had a major impact on the entire world. and certainly the creation of the Fabian socialist movement. So she says, this divorce of economics from metaphysics and the shoddy history is a great gain. That is, for the advancement of scientific socialism in the English-speaking world. She admitted blandly that this coup had been achieved by trickery through successfully packing the University of London Commission. Now, in those days, science was a word to conjure with, and the webs were gifted at legerdemain. While attracting little general notice, the Royal Commission's pronouncement went a long way toward establishing the authority of research and teaching methods pursued with political intent by the British Fabians, not only at the little London School of Economics, where they ruled supreme, but also at the larger universities of England and America, where they were making converts. Soon other types of social inquiry were invested with the lofty title of social science, and presumed by a guileless public to be as free as the physical sciences from subjective or doctrinal bias. Thus, professors who happened to be socialists could present propagandist conclusions as though they were the laws of nature, determined by, quote, impartial, close quote, research. No wonder the British Fabian socialist John Atkinson Hobson, who wrote Free Thought in the Social Sciences, pointing out the use of social psychology as a tool for manipulating the masses, could assert so confidently, if somewhat after the fact, that the future secret weapon of strategy would be the university professor. More speedily than in England, Hobson's dictum proved true in the United States, where professors as well as students aspired to become the future rulers of America. All across the continent at the turn of the century, little clusters of college professors had begun studying socialism in secret, because an open avowal of such interest might have led to their dismissal. Recalling his youth as an instructor at the University of California, Dr. Harry L. Overstreet, long a professor of philosophy at the City College of New York and sponsor of many socialist causes, said, quote, "We were studying socialism and didn't want anyone to know what we were doing." At the Philadelphia University Extension, keyword, a group of self-styled liberals gathered around Woodrow Wilson, professor of jurisprudence and political science at Princeton University. Most of them held regular positions elsewhere, as Wilson did, commuting to Philadelphia to lecture in their free time as a means of augmenting their incomes and improving their extracurricular contacts. Some, like Professor Henry C. Adams and at a later date Professor Richard T. Ely, were the acknowledged leaders of academic socialism in their day. And you're paying money to send your children to school? Others belonging to the Wilson Circle were Dr. Albert Shaw of the Review of the Reviews, Professor William Graham Sumner, and so on and so on and so on. So what we have here is a new term. Actually, it's not a new term to this audience, but I'm introducing this in this way to let you know that we need to be very, very, very concerned about changes that happened in this time period from 1900 forward. Now remember, Sir John Salmond, wrote his Salmond on Jurisprudence, first originally published in 1902. And this edition that I have, it was the only one that I was able to get on the computer, but it's the 12th edition, published in 1966. There are substantial revisions that have been made to this book. And this book has been basically salted with the positivist ideas of a man named Hart. And we've spoken about him in the past, and we'll come back to him again in the future. But again, when we're talking about currents of opinion and cross-currents of opinion as they shape law, we need to be aware that the sustainable development agenda that is being inculcated is coming from many different sources, but it is meeting a powerful cross-current, much in the same way that the Republican presidential primary met a strong cross-current of opinion with the Ron Paul supporters. There was the traditional Republican side that now has fallen into the trap of McCain, and then there was this cross-current of public opinion, very strong, very vocal, and yet wholly suppressed by the media, this cross-current of public opinion in support of Dr. Ron Paul. And so, when we look at British Fabian socialist, we cannot fail to overlook such institutions as the Tavistock Institute and the Smith Institute. And today I'll just return briefly to a work that was written by Gene Newman. Gene Newman, the director of studies for the Institute, that's Tavistock Institute's Advanced Organizational Consultation Program, PROGRAMME, program. Be very aware of that word when you see it. It's coming from this source. And she argues the case for the creation of organizational development and change as an academic discipline. So here, Sidney and Beatrice Webb championed the creation of economics as a science, and this woman, Jean Newman, from the same hotbed of super-social scientists, is advancing advanced organizational consultation as a development and change as an academic discipline. So this is a new system that's being introduced. Within the UK and Europe, now reading from her article, more broadly, time is ripe for building organizational development and change as an academic discipline. And if you've been listening at all to any of the various pundits or any of the talk hosts talking about the Obama campaign, the one word that he seems to use most frequently is change, change, change. Never defines his change. It's 360-degree change, as another host said, but nevertheless, it's change. And so we can understand what he's talking about and where his philosophical underpinnings might lie when we go in and listen to the words here now of Gene Newman. On the demand side, well, let me just start over again. Within the UK and Europe more broadly, time is ripe for building organizational development and change. And then, in parentheses, in capitals, here's the acronym, ODNC, close parentheses, as an academic discipline. So now this would be something that you would go to school and you would take in social sciences, perhaps, or political science, something. And you would pay thousands of dollars, and you would sit down and you would take a class called Organizational Development and Change, or ODC. But what are you studying this week, or this month, or this quarter, Susie? Well, I'm studying ODC. Oh, that's nice. How are you doing? Well, I'm getting an A. That's marvelous. Would you like a new car? All right. On the demand side, organizations and their change-related practitioners hunger for research-based guidance during this challenging period. Every sentence. This is not a time for speed reading. Every sentence is just larded with material. On the demand side, organizations and their change-related practitioners. What is a change-related practitioner? In common parlance, what you're going to discover when you're building your local voting precinct groups, when you're working in your precincts and in your counties, you're going to endlessly come across professionally trained facilitators and change agents. And largely, in your area, they will likely be coming from none other than your local university extension program, PROGRAMME, program. All right, continuing. On the supply side, business schools find themselves competing for MBA students to stay alive. Consultancy degrees and changing management courses help keep the wolf from the door. And so, in other words, in order to attract MBA students, we get involved with things called consultancy degrees, getting a degree in consultancy. It's not a consultant like an engineering consultant or an urban planning consultant or an architectural consultant or something. It's consultancy. It's a whole other body of knowledge. It's learning how to dialogue into consensus. Continuing, a revitalized academic ODNC has a lot to offer both sides in terms of relevance. Especially exciting is the renewed scrutiny of the relationship between theory and practice. Nonetheless, these very forces that decreased ODNC academic influence since the 1980s continue to work against ODNC's potential now. So there's a current of opinion and a cross-current of opinion as those who have gone through this programming in the past as opposed to what's being programmed now. And they don't seem to be quite on the same page. Organizational development has been stripped of its assets. While an organizational well, an organizational development and change practitioner population thrives in Europe, attempts falter to build a corresponding OD&C academic community. And so there are many of these organizational development and change practitioners thriving in Europe, but it's been very difficult to get into the colleges. Now we can take a sidebar here and think about the Department of Homeland Security and the degrees that are now being offered at our land-grant universities and colleges in how to become homeland secure or to be an agent for the Department of Homeland Security. I would imagine instead of a striped jacket or something, they would probably hand out brown or silver shirts. But that would be my opinion. So we continue. Of course, there are many academics who apply social sciences to organizational problems. Now remember, this idea of the social sciences may have originated with Sidney and Beatrice Webb, but it was the positivist, the French positivist, Auguste Comte, who came up with the idea creation of the science, the super social science, the queen of all sciences, sociology, which is the basis for social sciences. So we're way back. We're going now into the 1800s. We'll move right back into this article by Jean Newman. With some exceptions, however, teaching consists of passing on the aging intellectual capital of OD&C without contributing theoretically or practically to the building of the profession. So this aging OD&C intellectual capital is passé. It's going out of style. So originally they had one intent, and now they're finding that they're going to have to transform their intent in order to retain the content and attract more students. Within British business and management schools, OD&C theory and method has been cut into pieces and recombined with subjects like organizational psychology, business strategy, human resources. The resulting introduction to OD&C can be so superficial that the academic richness of the profession is lost. Students who go on to become managers can be forgiven for considering OD&C inadequate to the complexity of their organizations. And so here, what we're finding is that once you have this philosophy and you start to gain traction with it, in this case, OD&C, Organizational Development and Change, they slice it up with a razor blade and then they salt it in amongst other textbooks, which is why it's so very important to take the textbooks that come home with your children, if they ever do, or the textbooks that you are checking out, you're having to purchase at the university bookstore, and you take that textbook and you begin to read it. And for students that might be listening and parents that might be listening, you read that book with all carefulness, because throughout the book, what little bit of truth there might be will be always salted in with that leaven that so spoils the loaf. And we need to be aware of that. And we can take courses in the university and other locations, continuing education programs, and if we know what the dialogue is, if we can understand the language of the change agents, then we can see when we are actually being programmed, and it's like having special glasses where you can then begin to move through life free from this awkward infiltration, this permeation and penetration that the Fabian socialists have spread across the entire planet. So it is really like having a special pair of glasses once you first begin to understand the language and then break through that language game and the language barriers and get outside of that niche, and then you can start to live truly free. And this is the information that we want to share with our neighbors and our friends as we build our groups, so that they understand that they're basically living in a paradigm that has been created for them, a false reality, if you will. Excuse me. Organizational development and change continues to suffer a poor image as an American and ideological in favor of thinly masked manipulative techniques that are presented as beneficial to employees. Phrases like change management, organizational change, even action research and participatory methodology tend to be preferred. Universities have both been influenced in this regard by employing organizations as well as influential in their turn. When academic OD&C shows itself on the European scene, it probably appears as relatively low status and practitioner-oriented. So again, right back into the schools. All of this stuff is being aimed at the minds of the masses. How delightful. A little glass of water with some bagged vinegar in it, my favorite drink while I'm on the air. Here we go. Universities have been both influential in this regard by employing organizations as well as influential in their term. When academic ODNC shows itself on the European scene, it probably appears as relatively low status and practitioner-oriented. I repeat that. Within mainstream courses, students are often offered an amalgam, that's an admixture, of mostly large systems change models without theoretical attention of practical instruction in how to implement such models. So they're given the language, but they're not given the keys. We'll be right back.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how, in 5 countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part 1 of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part 2 for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
There we go.
We can make it right for the...
You've heard of Life Change Tea and how successful this product works. Well, now, introducing Life Change Fat Burners. Burn fat, clean your blood, and pick up energy. Used in conjunction with Life Change Tea, you can reduce your weight, reduce inches in your waist, and restore energy you haven't had in months. And it's all natural. Order yours today. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Operators are standing by. Why sit and wonder if this product works? Join the thousands of testimonies and make a change in your life. Lose weight and get healthy. There's no other product on the market like this. Try it today. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea. Changing America's health, one tea bag at a time.
And back here on Become Vocal Local, close up today's broadcast, looking at this article from the Tavistock Institute. And if you haven't visited their website, I would recommend that you do that and poke around in it as I have. I think you'll be in for a bit of a surprise. You'll start to see a lot of things that you've read in your local newspaper that come right out of that group in England. Now, just a couple of quick points here to close this article out. One of the subheads is Claim the Territory. And it says, to claim this territory would bring academic ODNC up to date with European and public policy makers, organizational leaders, change agents, and ODNC practitioners. They're so very bold in their own writings to use repeatedly the word change agents. agents of change, agents of change. So we need to be aware of that. Develop consensus is another subhead on publishing standards. Another subhead is concentrate on intervention theory and methodology. And I'll just read a little bit from that. We need to undertake R&D on interventions, contributing to practical theory about how to make and sustain ODNC in various sizes of organizations, sectors, occupations, social systems, environments, etc. And so here in this one subhead, which is only a lengthy paragraph, we've got all of the words that we've been talking about, or a lot of the words that we've been talking about, when we look into the Agenda 21, Program of Action for Sustainable Development. We're talking, it uses the word sustain, it uses the word development, it uses the word environment. So we know the source, and when we know the source, then we know that we're getting close to analyzing and diagnosing the correct disease. And then if we focus on the disease and eliminate the disease, then all of these nasty symptoms that are plaguing us on a daily basis will begin to just go away, like curing any disease. We have a super social disease that is besetting us, and it is metastasized within our corrupt two-party political established political party system. And that needs to be revised. That needs to be our number one goal, in my opinion. I'll read a little bit and we'll close the article. ODNC academics need to join forces with other specialties. For example, community development, rural development, public administration, and international development. Three times, development, 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 community, rural, international, and also public administration. And so, just to give you an idea of her mindset, she says, this is in her closing, deep social science stirs me at an emotional, cognitive, practical, and theoretical level. I feel moved to do something. I'm asking, what motivates ODNC as an academic discipline beyond its own survival? For what purpose are we building ODNC as an academic discipline? Question mark. Gene Newman, June 2005. So let's be aware of these sustainable mercenaries who are out there diligently working in our universities and the extension service. In future broadcasts, we'll go into this extension process. I've been reticent to get into it because it's lengthy, it's deep, it's as big as or bigger than the international migration and development process. But it's so linked to the disease that if we don't understand it, we won't recognize it in our communities and we'll just be overwhelmed and affected by it. Now remember, becoming vocal local, this goes back to a statement I wrote a long time ago. As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are in our towns, in our cities, in our states. And I sincerely hope that you've enjoyed our broadcast today. You've been listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. My name is William Roberts. I encourage you to become vocal local. And until the next time, good afternoon.
Tell you why I